Welcome to the Motorhome Matt podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Industry insights, expert advice for the world of motorhomes, caravans and campervans. It's brought to you by thatleisureshop.com.
And remember to follow on your favourite podcast app and please do subscribe on YouTube. Brought to you by arrowbasecreative.co.uk.
In the podcast today, we're not talking so much about motorhomes as Motorhome Matt himself, or should I say Motorheart Matt. He's had really a major health scare, really frightening. It could have been just me doing this podcast because Matt was having a bit of pains, which he's going to talk to you about, and feeling out of breath. Went to the doctor. Next thing we know, he's been rushed into hospital. Matt, what happened?
Well, we saved the day. We're not Caravan Keith. Would we have to rename the podcast if I didn't turn up?
Well, we would. Caravan Keith, or as I suggested, Spare Wheel Gooden.
Spare Wheel Gooden, yeah. That's a good one. Good one, get it?
Hilarious. Never heard that before.
No, never. No. Not since school. No. Anyway, well, the last few months I've been having a few chest issues. Not really pains, but just an ache and feeling headaches and a bit clammy. A few moments where I've had to sit down and go, oh, this doesn't feel right.
And you've had a bad cough as well.
I've had a terrible cough. People can call it the 90-day cough or the 100-day cough.
We all thought you had the 100-day pneumonia.
Yeah, well, I'd been diagnosed with pneumonia, had a chest infection, several rounds of antibiotics, and they just didn't work. So I've been back to the doctors a few times, had two ECGs, two chest x-rays. I couldn't seem to get any results from the chest x-ray. So I went back to the doctor again, tried to get an appointment. You have to do this thing with our surgery called an e-consult. I'm sure lots of you have to do that, where you fill out the form. And I thought, well, I'm not going to hold back. I'm just going to tell them how it is. And then get this message, please come in today. We'll see you on the urgent care list. So 4 o'clock, in I go and see this GP I've never seen before, young guy, fairly new to the surgery. And we're chatting away and he said, you know, I don't really endorse private medicine, but it might be that you need to go and see a private doctor about this to get this, you know, fast tracked. And we kept chatting and he said, hang on a minute, I'm really not happy about this. The next thing, he's booked me into A&E and I'm about to be rushed off in an ambulance and taken in. I said, no, it's fine, Judah take me. So she drove us in, screaming, Nina, Nina, out the car window, into A&E, got admitted to cardiology. Next day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 24 hours later, I'm in heart surgery. And I had an echocardiogram and an angiogram. So an echocardiogram is like an audio scan of your heart. They check its beating. An angiogram is where they go in through your wrist, into your main artery, and then shove a tube up inside the artery, a wire, essentially. And he asked me to breathe in. I'm awake through all of this. And he said, breathe in, and then you feel it go round your shoulder and down into your chest cavity. It's the strangest sensation. And then they throw a dye into your heart. And you're lying under this x-ray machine, which is the size of two shoeboxes, which is spinning around and moving around all over you. And the bed's moving as well. There must have been 15 or 20 people in the theatre. It's incredible. And they're taking pictures of my heart as they're squirting the dye into it and photographing essentially all of the arteries. And he said, it's not very good in here, I'm going to try and fix it for you now. So 3.5 hours later, I had two balloon stents, which basically expand an artery in two different places and clear the blood flow through it. And it was actually a trial that I signed up to, thinking I'm not going to have this done, because in the morning I'd seen a consultant and said, I think it's your asthma. I went, what? It's definitely nothing to do with my asthma. He said, well, I think you just need to drink more water. I felt a bit fobbed off, not going to lie. But he said, well, as you're here, we'll get these procedures done. And thank goodness he did. And the surgeon said, I think you're lucky to have made it to my table today. And I told him I'd had a referral to cardiology a few weeks before. And I was told the next appointment was in 117 weeks. And he said, you'd have not made that. So two trial these stents fitted. They dissolve after 90 days. He said these are magnificent because it doesn't leave any, there's no metal left in your heart. So if there's any complication with my heart down the line, the surgeon's not having to deal with bits of metal in any artery. There's no evidence of it left. So they dissolve, harden, stiffen up the artery wall and keep the blood flow free flowing. And now I'm dealing with all the medications. So I think if I jump up and down, I'll probably rattle. Because I'm taking, I think it's 9 tablets a day I'm taking for all sorts of things, trying to get blood pressure down, thin my blood, platelet count down, I'm on aspirin for life. So I'm here to tell the tale, frankly.
But only just.
Well, he did say I was lucky, as I say, to make it to his table that day. And the reality was, the day before, I was unloading, helped the team unload a van of furniture that had come back from the show in Birmingham. They were busy checking it all in, and I was emptying it all out of the van. And I did have a bit of a moment, you know, 5 minutes where I felt unwell. Chest pain, not more pressure on my chest, I suppose. In reality, that was the heart complaining that it couldn't pump the blood around my body. And that could have been one of several moments where it went, I'm giving up. And I could have had a heart attack. And, you know, they can quickly develop and, you know, can be game over. So I said on social media, I said, you know, I'm grateful that I was not that guy, that phone call and that funeral, which, you know, we've all had to attend funerals of friends. You think, what? I only spoke to them last week and they were fine. So the overwhelming sense for me lying on that table was that I'd been given more time and a chance to have another go, given time to carry on, basically. And I really have got this passion now to share with all my friends my age. And I say to you, if you're listening to this or watching this and you've got something wrong in your body and it's a sign, go and get it sorted. You know, blokes at 52 my age, we're busy with kids. Some of us are busy looking after parents. We're busy with work. Finding time to call a GP, go and see one, and then chase the results is, you know, can be very difficult, but make the time for it, because I'm frankly, I'm very fortunate to have had the procedure done and still be here. So, yeah, here to tell the tale, I'm afraid.
I'm glad you're still here.
Oh, bless you, mate. That's
I found
very kind.
Out on WhatsApp, and there I was sitting on the sofa in my underpants with a cup of tea and a cinnamon roll, which I just bought from that supermarket that rhymes with Widdle. And this news started coming through, and I thought, this can't be right. This is not right. But it was right. Well, number one, thank heavens for the NHS.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
All our lives have been touched and benefited from the NHS at some stage in our lives in this country. And secondly, it doesn't happen like it does in Hollywood, does it?
No.
It's not, oh, I've got pains down my arms, I'm clutching my chest, oh, I'm falling over. And, you know, we are broadcasting in this podcast to a certain demographic.
Yeah.
And that demographic largely is 30 to 70 year olds, and this can happen to anyone. So the reason that we're not talking about motorhomes and caravans today in this part of the podcast, the reason we're talking about Matt and his chest, is because this can happen to anybody. And if what Matt's described rings a bell with you, get to the doctor immediately.
Yeah, please, please, please do, because it's what made all the difference for me. And I'm so grateful to that GP who I've tried to ring to say thank you, but he's currently away on holiday. He had the foresight to listen and interpret what I was saying, and he, I think, knew something was not right. And thankfully, I was able to get into theatre and have that angiogram. And then the surgeon was able to see this issue, which was life-threatening, and he was able to fix it. So please don't delay. If you're suffering with any sort of chest pain or any sign of anything which, think, you know, makes you think something's not right, go and get it looked at and persist. If you think it's not right, it's not right. So make sure the doctor gets to look at you and takes action.
Yeah, and it could be something like, as Matt says, you're perspiring more than you think you ought to be after light work. Maybe you're a little bit breathless. Maybe you've got some aches around your chest. Like I said, it's not like it is in Hollywood. You know, you get the pains down the arms and somebody rushes around you. Real life is much more different than that. So yeah. If anything like this is happening to you, man or woman, then make that appointment with the doctor, and don't say, I can't get an appointment with my doctor. Even if you make an appointment and it's 3 weeks from now, if you've got any of those symptoms, make that appointment, go and see the doctor. And if it's nothing, that's great. But you never know, like Matt, it might be something might which be, requires yeah. a major treatment to save your life. And that's a fact, isn't it, Matt?
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. And it was Jude that kept pressure on me to go back to the doctor. And when I filled out the e-consult, she said, don't hold back. Tell them how it is, because I played it down. And if you do
that...
Men always do that. Yeah, and she said, no, don't do it. So she actually filled it in. I was driving and she was filling it in. So I'm not quite sure what she wrote. But I was telling her how I was feeling, and she was writing it as I was saying it, where I probably would have said, oh, well, a very mild chest pain. And she probably didn't write that, but it sparked an appointment that afternoon. And it's been interesting because the last few weeks and months, well, I've been talking about men's health, and you know, my test results show me that, yes, I'm overweight, I'm underfit, I've got high blood pressure, high cholesterol, I'm pre-diabetic, and yeah, I'm ticking all these boxes, and I know I needed to make some change. And with Andrew Dickens at the show recently in February, we were on the Camping and Caravanning Club stage, and Andrew's the chef at the show, fantastic guy, and we were talking together, and he wanted to do something on that stage, and I said, well, can we do something around men's health? And we cooked Sebring, which, of course, is a very healthy choice. And we were talking about the oils we were using, and we were just chatting about men's health. And it turned out Andy himself had just been to the doctors because he felt like his own heart was pumping itself out of his chest. And he was suffering the same. And it is amazing how the number of men I've spoken to are suffering. Steve Radford from the Roaming Radfords, dear friends of ours. Steve has been really struggling with the same cough, and he's been struggling as well. And they spark lots of conversations with lots of friends of mine. And many of us are having a health challenge. And the number of people that are not getting to the doctor to get it looked at is frankly shocking. So, you know, I was functioning pretty normally with this major condition. So it was only when I finally got to the hospital and I was able to get with the surgeon on his table that he was able to see what was wrong. Could I get it fixed? So don't delay. Please don't delay.
And it could have been the end of the Motorhome Matt podcast. We'd have had to get Motorhome Dave or something here. Don't worry, Matt. We'd have seen it all right.
You know? Am I that easily replaced?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things.
The caravan Keith.
Yeah, you can write to me if you think that you could be a worthy replacement, by the way, just in case he doesn't struggle.
I'm very delighted to be here, I have to say.
Yeah. And we're delighted to have you here as well. So how are you actually feeling today?
Today I'm all right. I'm like a sine wave curve. I have a very good friend, Ewan, who's been a massive help. And he owned a motorhome. And he had a heart attack 7 years ago, and he's been a wealth of knowledge about all the medication I'm taking and its side effects. And he's been a blessing to me because he's given me some reassurance, and I'm getting things like cold hands and feet in the evening, massive leg cramps through the night, which is all the side effects of the medication. I get this fatigue. I call it fake fatigue, where I just suddenly get really tired. So I'm like a sine wave curve where I'm up and I'm down. And at the moment, it feels like the ups are lasting longer, which is great. So I reckon over the next few months and maybe longer, I just need to get used to that. Keep my heart rate down. Resting heart rate is slower than it's been in a very long time. But of course, that's medically induced. And I just need to get used to that. And then hopefully over the next few months, I'll see the consultant again, and we can maybe start reducing some of these meds. So it's going to take time. I realise that. And I've got to respect that and work with it. But I'm on aspirin for life, and maybe a couple of other things we'll see. But I'm feeling okay. I'm all right. I'll probably after this have a little lie down.
But the thing is, the motorhoming, yeah, that's, it must have helped throughout. I mean, because you had that time to relax, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm not sort of squeezing this in as an excuse. It sounds a bit like it. But it is true, you know, getting out there, having those breaks, taking the motorhome out with the family, that must have helped over the years. So, you know, it's good that you're here. It's good that you got treated. But it's also good that the lifestyle, even though it was high pressure because you're in business, you were taking those breaks. And that's got to be a good thing, isn't it?
Definitely. And I've always said going away for a weekend in a motorhome is like taking a week's holiday. It's bizarre. It's like a reset. We've got three businesses here. I'm pretty busy, and I do carry quite a lot of stress with all of that. And making time to do that can be a challenge. So, you know, that's a factor. We're planning a trip to Scotland in April. That is definitely happening. That's been called into question. We are definitely going to the Outer Hebrides for a break. And just even if it's a week, just to switch off, we're probably going to try and do 2 weeks. But just to get a change of scene and, you know, brilliant fresh air, some fantastic views, and have that break from the day to day and come back recharged. It makes a massive reset, massive difference. I love it.
So let's just repeat, if you've got any of those symptoms that Matt had, get along, make the appointment, see your doctor. Don't make excuses. Remember, you could just be feeling a bit tired. There's a bit of a dull ache. What else did you experience, Matt? Just recap, would you?
It was a mild chest pain, clammy hands, slightly sweaty, getting out of breath. Generally, it was caused by exertion, but one morning I did fall over getting out of bed. Just got very dizzy, and for about an hour, just thought, oh, this does not feel right. And the doctor said, when that happened, did you feel compelled to call an ambulance? I said, for about 10 seconds and then I dismissed it. He said, well, you should have, because I needed your ECG when that was happening. And if that ever happens, don't be shy. Everyone in the NHS I've spoken to has said, why didn't you call an ambulance? Because I thought it was a waste of their time.
Yeah, you didn't serving. Want. We know it's a stretched resource, and most of us feel that you only call an ambulance when you're at death's door.
Yeah.
But you were.
Well, I didn't realise that. Yeah. So I was being encouraged to do it. So I would encourage you to do it. And I've had a rethink about this. And even friends of mine who are paramedics said I was mad, you know, because the first thing they'd want to do is get there and help me. So I should have called 999. And actually, that would have escalated my health problems probably 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. And I might have been, you know, at this point, I'm now earlier. And instead, it was thankfully that GP that had the insight to say, yeah, I'm not happy with this. So be honest as well. As a bloke, it's very easy to play this down. As you said earlier, Keith, we do play it down. We shouldn't. The health service don't want you to. You know, they want to treat you. They want to make you better. They are in the business of making people better. And boy, it was fast, I'll tell you. What a team at the Health Institute in Bristol, the Heart Institute, sorry. What a team they are. They're just an amazing bunch of people in that theatre. They were all so upbeat. And I said, you must love doing this for a living. They said, it's amazing. Absolutely love it. So they're there. They want to help you. They want to fix you. They want to make you better. They are massively under-resourced. You're right. But what a talented bunch. And I'm very grateful that I was able to go there and be treated by them and still be here to tell the tale.
Well, it's great to have you here, Matt. And remember what we've said. We're saying this to help you. Just in case you need that little bit of push to make that doctor's appointment, particularly if you're of a certain age, particularly if you're a man, but it affects women as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell them Motorhome Matt sent you.
It's the Motorhome Matt podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
Okay, let's get into our news today. First of all, there's a big story about Erwin Heimer. What's that all about then, Matt?
Sadly, Erwin Heimer have announced that they are laying off 190 people and making them redundant from their northeast plant, which is a real blow for all the families that are affected by this. The recent company accounts showed a loss of over £4.5 million in the year ending July 2022. So no real surprise for anyone there, I'm sure, but a shock nonetheless.
Yeah, and as recently as 2021, the North East plant was said to be earmarked for £15 million of investment, which at the time, Erwin said, would guarantee the employment in the area for the next 15 years. So clearly something has changed, whether it's, you know, the changes in government, the extra costs that people are having to pay for mortgages, which has dented orders. I don't know. I'm speculating. But 190 jobs in a company that size, that's a lot of jobs. And as you say, you know, we send love and sympathy out to everybody who is employed and currently worried by those changes hope that you can get employment in the future to help you and your families.
Yeah. I wonder if this is a theme we're going to see running into this year, though, because obviously supply chain issues, cost of living issues, or supply cost issues as well. Motorhome's becoming more expensive, harder to afford. What's the impact going to be for other manufacturers?
Yeah, I know I keep bringing it back to politics, but I really do think it's as a result of those increases in the mortgage rate. You know, if people, you know, even, you know, with a fairly small mortgage are seeing £150 extra on their mortgage payments. And some people with larger mortgages, because house prices went up, people took out larger mortgages, you know, sometimes £500 or £600 a month. That has got to impact every other part of their spending, and that includes leisure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And of course, that generation that had that the beautiful nest egg, you know, the pension payout that would afford them a product like a motorhome, you know, that's starting to disappear. So those people are becoming fewer in number. So it's an interesting time. And we've had, you know, Steve from Motorhome Finance on talking about affordability of motorhome finance. So it's still possible. But I'm a little concerned that we're going to see this as a bit of a theme going into this year. It's going to be a challenging, bumpy few years ahead.
Another blow after Brexit and the pandemic.
Yep.
And
Yeah, it's going to take some years to recover from all of that, I think.
Yeah. Overnight parking throughout the UK. Well, Wales is under the microscope on this one. They're introducing a trial scheme to allow motorhome and campervan users to park and sleep overnight at selected car parks. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Yep. It stops the boy racers and the girl racers from going up there with their pimped-up Clios and having races around an empty car park. And it's another source of revenue for cash-strapped councils,
isn't
it? As
we've talked about before, yeah. Yeah. In fact, even the BBC were reporting a new site to allow motorhomes and campervans to stay overnight on the Isle of Man, Nobles Car Park in the island's capital. That was on BBC News just very recently. So we said at the top of the year, didn't we, that I think, you asked me what do I predict this year, I think people are going to choose not to go to campsites and increasingly want to go to other places. We're seeing this boom and growth in these portals and websites that promote non-campsite locations. Brands like Britstops, who recently sold, and Park for Night, Search for Sites, these are growing fast. And I think we're going to see an increased demand from motorhomers, campervanners, who don't want to go to a campsite, they want to go somewhere else. And they want to park up and do the whole wild camping thing, as it gets nicknamed. This is going to put pressure on councillors and councils locally.
And pressures on campsites as well, because they'll be having less business.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, campsites, I think they become more expensive. I think they need to rethink their offer. And many are. Reignite a passion for going to a campsite, because I think it's too easy just to have a grass field and a hook-up point. Say, there you are, £35.
Thank you very much. Making a lot of money.
You think, really? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but what's the one thing in the motorhome and caravanning industry that has always marked it out? It is the imagination.
I think so, yeah, and some are. I mean, it's interesting to see campsites starting to charge for electricity, which is bringing campsite costs down. We've got an episode coming up on that very soon, so stay tuned for that. It is fascinating. It's a big development this year. And that's going to bring pitch fees down. And then you just pay the electric as you use it. But price is a barrier for campsites, definitely, because obviously a car park is free. But I also think councils will jump on this. I hope they do, and create this kind of heirs network like we have on the continent, and start to allow campers and motorhomers to come and park up and park with that beautiful view that isn't a campsite. And for many, that's what they want to do.
And let's go up to the Highlands. You mentioned the fact that you've got a trip booked up there later this year. Voluntary £40 a year as a contribution towards the upkeep of roads in the region. We did mention this in an earlier podcast, but this whole thing about voluntarily paying for it has really sort of struck me. Half people will pay and the other half will just say, nah, I'm going to go down the pub.
You'll always get that half of people. I think so. Right here, now, for me, I've been to Scotland many times on two wheels, in four wheels, in a car, in a motorhome, and it is outstanding. It's beautiful. I think if you've not been, you go, I'm not paying that. But I think once you've been, you go, yes, I would pay that. Because it is about maintaining those beautiful views and the roads that you travel on. You know, it needs to be maintained, and Scotland doesn't have the funds to do that. You know, the popularity has been is off the charts, so more and more people are wearing the roads out, wearing the verges out. That's a big factor as well, and it needs infrastructure which has to be paid for. So yeah, I would pay it. I wouldn't mind being forced to pay it. I would happily pay it. And it's been talked about, a daily tourism tax for every day you're there. How that would work, I've no idea. But you know, I would happily pay that, certainly. But only because I've been there and I know and appreciate how beautiful it is. I think for someone who's not been before, it might put people off going if they had to pay it, which is probably why it's been suggested it's voluntary.
Yeah, is that a bad thing? Because we've heard tales, haven't we, of convoys of motorhomes, you know, crocodiles wending their way up through the routes. Maybe fewer people need to be going, and this is a way to actually reduce the amount of wheels on the tarmac, don't you think?
It could be, yeah. I mean, well, yes, it could be, but I think that would be a shame, because it's such a great experience to go. And I mean, recently we had Joe Swash and Stacey Solomon. They went with their kids, didn't they, in the motorhome. Did you see them?
I did see that. They have moved big time into the world of motorhomes.
They have. And Joe was at the show recently. And Joe tried to take the motorhome through a McDonald's drive-through. Did you see that? Someone videoed it. Oh, my goodness. And it went very wrong. Let's just say that. And it was hired from friends of ours who got a big repair to do on it. But they went to Scotland and absolutely loved it. They absolutely were stunned by the views. Great PR for Scottish travel, I have to say. And they were right. It is out of this world. It, literally, you could be in the Caribbean, stood on that Scottish beach.
Apart from the weather.
No, but sometimes it's not that bad. Sometimes. The air is so clear. And honestly, if you get a clear blue day, okay, it's not hot. No. It might be cool. Yeah. But the view is still beautiful. It's stunning. Yeah.
By the way, Joe and Stacey, if you're listening to this, and let's face it, anybody who motorhome seriously is, we'd love to have you on. Come on.
Don't bring your McDonald's, Joe.
No, don't. Now, motor caravans are set to be banned from parking overnight at a popular beauty spot in Norfolk.
Yeah, but only because motorhomers keep emptying their toilets.
I saw somebody doing that about a mile from my house in a lay-by the other day.
Really?
Because it was blue. They were pouring it out by the side. They'd parked in the lay-by and it was...
Just tipping it
into the bushes by the side, on the back of the lay-by.
Drives me mad. Why do people do it? Hey, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
I think that more of us that use Solbio, I rant on about Solbio as a pro-bacterial toilet chemical. Yeah, that can end up on a compost heap. So pouring that into a grass verge is way less harmful than pouring blue in. I mean, that's just, you know, it's got formaldehyde in it, many of it. So it's horrendous. Why do people do it?
Well, I mean, you know, it was on an A road. There are drains as well, you know. I mean, if the worst comes to the worst, you've got a leak, you have to empty it, and it's an emergency, you know, why pour it on the countryside?
I know, exactly. Well, the problem there is it ends up in the rivers, and that's just going to kill all the fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shocking.
So extra parking's been announced for Exmouth. We've been covering this over...
Your favourite place.
...the last year. I made the mistake of saying, what was it, 18 months ago, I'd been to Exmouth, was staying in a hotel, watching motorhomers and car drivers and tourists, everybody getting along famously with motorhomers parking by the seafront, not blocking the view, smiling, laughing, talking, walking dogs. And since then, it's all gone horribly downhill. And they ended up in Exmouth with two schemes, one the town scheme, one the county scheme. And it literally divided the road in half. If you paid for the parking ticket on the wrong side of the road, you'd end up with a £100 fine. They're announcing extra parking. And funnily enough, the extra parking is in the lorry park that we originally talked Woo-hoo. About, where motorhomers were staying, and they were kicked out for refurbishment of the lorry park. And the councillors are on record as saying a handful of lorry drivers use that park. There's plenty of room. Now they're giving it over to general parking. Why did they kick the motorhomers out in the first place?
I don't know. Who knows? We've actually got a good conversation going with our local council. We're North Somerset Council here, and we had the local councillor here in the building, and I showed him the studio. He was really impressed, and his passion is local business and looking, getting behind the scenes of what small local businesses are doing on his patch. And he had no idea that we were here, and so he was, you know, really interested in what we're doing. The best bit, he's agreed to come on the podcast. And I said, I would love to have you on, Mark, and talk about the challenges that you face as a council trying to deal with motorhomes. And we've had loads of stories recently in his patch, and he was aware of them all, in Portishead, in Clevedon, on the seafront, of motorhomes being allowed to park and then people dumping their toilets again and then being banned. He was part of that decision. So he's agreed to come on and talk to us about the challenges he faces as a council, and what considerations he's got, and just help us understand, why do councils do this? They seem to play with it, don't they? I'm sure there's more to it than that, but we're going to get Mark on, hopefully in the next few weeks or months, and we'll try and get him to explain a bit more. I think it'd be really interesting to get the councillor's view.
Yeah, it's a huge oversimplification to say, oh, the councils are doing this and it's bad, they just want money and all the rest of it. They've been under immense pressure over the last 14 years by having budget cuts. They are looking to make more revenue. They've had pressure in order to keep emissions in their areas down, which is why they've introduced the ULEZ zones. And as you say, it would be great to get their view on it, because most councillors doctors are good people trying to do the best for the community.
He's a really lovely guy, I have to say. I met his assistant as well. Absolutely brilliant people. Really passionate about the local area. He has his, he has a post office, his own business in the local area as well. So he gets it. And he was really quite interested in coming on, having a chat about it. So hopefully we'll be able to get him on and we'll see what that would be a good conversation, I think.
Excellent. And if they do change policy, then the Motorhome Map podcast is a good way of getting that news out to people, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That leisure shop product of the week. I know everything's upside down, but we had Matt's heart scare and we want to get that in first. What is it this week then, Matt?
Well, last week we had an entire lorry deliver stock from Crespo and Beaucamp. I'm always banging the drum about the quality of Crespo furniture and how lovely Beaucamp accessories are. And we had dozens of pallets arrive rather unexpectedly. Last week I was at home recovering and I escaped the chaos of all these pallets arriving on a lorry with no forklift. So the guys had to handball everything off, strip the pallets and unload it by hand and bring it all in the building. We have got a massive amount of furniture in stock now. It's amazing. We're probably the biggest stockist at the moment of Crespo and Beaucamp stuff. So go on thatleisureshop.com and search it up and go and find it. It is beautiful. Lightweight chairs that fold really flat. We're taking it to all the shows this year. We're a number of shows, agricultural shows. We're doing all the Warner shows. You'll be able to see it there. Or come and visit us in North Somerset. We'd love to see you.
It's heading to the Yorkshire Motorhome and Camper Van show this week.
It is, yeah, this weekend. Yeah, we're heading off on Wednesday. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be like my first outing. I'm allowed out. Do you know what? I've actually been banned from coming in the office. The team had a team meeting without me, and then Maddie rang me on speaker and made me promise out loud that I wasn't coming into the office. We had an open day for the hire business the other weekend, and I was told to promise I wasn't going to turn up. I was going to pop in, but I had to make an actual vow on speaker in front of the whole team that I would stay at home. So I did.
It's a good thing you weren't here to unload the Crespo van either.
Yeah, I probably
could have been the end of you, couldn't it?
It could have been.
I know it's light, but you know the way he is at the moment.
It, it was a lot of boxes. I think it was 14 pallets in one hit.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
It's the Motorhome Map podcast. I'm Keith Gooden.
And I'm Motorhome Matt.
It's the Q&A, the question and answer, the bit where you ask the questions and Matt, the expert, will give you the answers. And if he doesn't know, he'll find somebody who does. First of all, we have Andy Payne in Rotherham.
Great to meet you at the NAC yesterday and for the recommendations on the Crespo chairs. Ordered two. Looking forward to receiving those. A question about water. Is it okay to drink the water out of the onboard tank? Because on Facebook, a lot of people suggest that you should be drinking bottled water. Interested in your views on this. Seems a bit silly carrying all that water around if you can't drink it.
So can you drink the water in the onboard tank? Is it, as they say in Spain, potable?
Potable. Yeah, absolutely. It is, yeah. I mean, the key thing is make sure the water's safe. So we use water cleaner for years. A product called PuraClean has kind of dominated the market. And you pour it into the tank and slosh it around and it will clean the water. It was interesting that we had an episode a few weeks ago on Solbio at the NEC show, and they're launching a natural product that will clean your water tank, fresh water, so it makes it safe for you to drink. So I would say as long as you maintain your fresh water system correctly, we treat ours maybe two or three times a year, and we drink from it, and no problem at all. And of course, that water tank is designed to serve your shower as well, so that takes a lot of water, but we do drink it. I think if it tastes funny, then just, you know, stop and reconsider it. Some people don't like drinking it because the tank is plastic, so they don't want to drink water that's come into contact with plastic, and that's fair enough. But I do drink water from ours. It's about really making sure you maintain that fresh water tank, keeping it clean, and once or twice a year, really empty it, get in there, give it a good wash round, and make sure you're staying safe.
Here's a tip for you. If you don't want to drink out of that tank, just bring empty water or pop bottles along with you when you travel, and then you can fill them when you get to where you're going from a tap, so you've got fresh drinking water. Just another option.
Absolutely. The bigger consideration for me is actually not the water tank in our motorhome, but or where the water is coming from. So the hose you're using to fill that tank, we use a food grade hose, and this is really important that you don't use the garden hose, because they've got Hessian lining and bacteria can cling to that and form on it, and that can put, you know, lots of horrible things in your water. We use a food grade hose, which is smooth on the inside. We always keep it clean, and we do make sure we're not putting it in the same locker as the waste pipe. I see people do that all the time. Really silly. Keep it clean, don't let it get on the floor, and treat it as if you're going to drink from that hose. And also the source, check the source where the water's coming from. If you're on a campsite, make sure it is mains water, and maybe taste it before you put it in the tank.
Graham Highfields in Biddenden, he says, in a podcast you referred to an accident report form that you say we must carry with us. My insurance broker has not heard of this, and I can't find any reference to this online. Can you please make the form available? That's Graham Highfield, as I say, in Biddenden.
Yeah, thanks for your message, Graham. I have actually since emailed Graham the form. So this is when you go to Europe. I'm surprised your insurers don't know what this form is. It's really standard in any European car. Every driver has one. They're a self-carbonating form, and you fill out one copy and you give the other copy to the third party that you've had an accident with, and your insurer should be able to issue them to you before you go. Otherwise you can download it and just print at least two. You'll have to fill it out twice unless you take carbonating paper. Can you still buy that? Remember that stuff?
The carbon paper.
Yeah.
Not carbonating.
Or
carbon paper. Yeah,
You
remember the black or the blue stuff that went between the sheets, and you wrote on the top sheet and it went then through two or three different copies.
Well, this form, you fill out the top page and it magically appears on the second sheet. That's the form I'm familiar with, and it's a requirement in Europe to have this form. So if your insurers don't know, then you can, as I say, download one, print it twice, and you'd have to fill it out twice, and you have a copy each. That's the idea.
There you go, Graham, and I would seriously think about your insurance broker if I were you.
Yeah. Who are you insured with, Graham?
Yeah, I'm rude of that.
Yeah, that's not good.
If people want you to answer a question, Matt, what should they do?
Easy. Let's go to mhmp.info/askmatt. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I guarantee if you ask the question, there will be hundreds of other people listening or watching that think, yeah, I thought that too. So please don't be shy. There's no such thing as a daft question. We do try and answer all of your questions, many of them in the podcast or offline. I'll respond to your email or come back to you with a voice note. So please do hit the orange button and record it. We'd love it if you do that, because we love hearing your voice on the podcast. Please tell us where you are, or fill out the form if you're too shy to record the question.
Yeah, and don't worry if you stutter or leave a gap or whatever when you're recording. We can close that up in the edit and make you sound spiffy. You can leave us a review as well. MHMP, that's Motorhome Matt Podcast, get it? mhmp.info/review.
Yeah, please do that. And would you help us by subscribing on YouTube? I saw something really interesting the other day, that over 80% of the people that watch this content on YouTube are not subscribing to it. So if you would hit the little bell and hit the subscribe button, that would really help us promote the podcast. Thank you for doing that. And our video content on YouTube is sponsored by arabasecreative.co.uk.
And share this episode with a friend as well if you can.
Yeah, have you got any friends still? Found any?
Well, yeah, I went to a little club and had a little bit of a chat with a couple of people, but unfortunately, funnily enough, you know, when I ring them now, nobody ever answers the phone.
It's always engaged. Well, I'll be your friend. I'm still here.
Oh, he is still here. And I got one thing to say before we wrap up, Matt. Clear! Thanks for listening to the Motorhome Matt podcast. Remember to check back here for more episodes full of hints and tips and helpful advice. We'll see you soon for another Motorhome Matt podcast, brought to you with thatleisureshop.com.